and we could expect Jesus Christ coming soon back.
Minä uskon, että hän tietää, mitä me tarvitsemme tällä hetkellä, tänä iltana.
I believe he knows what we need this night.
Ja uskon, että hän haluaa täyttää kaikki meidän tarpeemme.
And I believe he will our all needs today, this night.
Me saamme siunata toinen toistamme.
We could bless each other.
Ja nähdä kaikki Jeesuksen omat, missä heitä ikinä onkaan, niin veljinämme ja sisämme.
And see all who belongs to Jesus, see like our brothers and sisters.
Hän on kutsunut meidät rakkauteen.
He has called us into the love.
Ja se on ainut kestävä perustus.
In this, it is only real foundation.
Ja hänen sanansa.
And his word.
Se on opillinen totuus.
And his word is real truth.
Hän rakastaa meitä.
He loves us.
Sen tähden kannattaa tulla Suomesta.
So we could come even from Finland here because Jesus loves us.
Ja kaikki vaivannäkö Herrassa on kannattavaa, se ei ole turhaa.
And anything what we labor in Jesus, it is not empty, it brings the fruit.
Minäkin olen ihan tavallinen ihminen, niin kuin tekin.
I am just a normal person like you, everyone.
Ainakin uskon.
So I believe.
Mutta hän on vapauttanut minut.
But he has set me free.
Ja sen tähden haluan sitä todistaa teille ja iloita teidän kanssa.
That's why, because he has set me, I could share it to you too.
Me olemme kuin Gideonin joukko.
We are like the group of Gideon.
Jumala katsoo laatuun, eikä määrään.
God sees the quality, not so that how much things happen.
Ja hän haluaa käyttää yksilöitä.
And he wants to use just a single or one person.
Me kaikki olemme lähetystyöntekijöitä.
And we all are missionaries.
Astukaamme siihen tehtävään.
And let's come to that insight, in that work.
So meidän jalo kuninkaamme meitä siihen kiihottaa.
Our King gives us the inspiration for that.
Jeesukselle kaikki kunnia.
All glory to Jesus.
Siunausta.
Blessings for all. Amen. Okay, I greet you all in the name of Jesus Christ. And you remember some of you were here not all yesterday evening, but we made an agreement here in front that everybody who came in front promised for the Lord to be agreement with me to bring one soul inside to the kingdom of God in 1 year period. It started last night, and next year when the 9th of April will come, you have got the answer. It came to my mind this morning that when you succeed, let me know and send me a card and to Finland, and pastor has my address. And I'm really praying that you will succeed, because I love people in the world who are going to hell, and I will do all my what I could do, all by my strength and in his with his power, that any evil will not perish, but receive the eternal life. That's why we did that agreement yesterday evening. And first evening we had the meeting there in Simon's house, but because you were very few there, I was talking that evening that Lord told me 2 years ago, write a book And this is a book made for those who got calls into the ministry. And but it is still only in Finnish language, but there in North Carolina I met a one Finnish language lady who speaks his both language very well, and she promised to interpret it to English, so it will be possible to little bit later to get it also in English language. Lord has put my heart very strongly to help those who has called into the ministry, to help them to get a start and receive Lord all gifts and resources to fulfill that ministry. So I very strongly encourage everybody who is called into the ministry to really to start to do what Lord says to you to do, because I feel very strongly in my spirit that time is short and King is coming back very soon. And however, if he's coming maybe years later or 10 years or 20 years later, we have to remember every day and every time that whole life here in the earth is very short. Bible says it, our time here, down here in the earth, it is like the palm beat this much, if we compare it to the eternity. So it means it's short period here, and we have to think all the time, do we use our time right? We have to think all the time, all day, at how we use our time. Do we use it right, or do we use it wrong? And we have to think, if we do such silly things, that we can cast them out, that there will be more time for Jesus. Sometimes I got some phone calls in Finland, and some people are complaining when they are getting some difficulties in their life, and they said to me that, why, Lord, let this thing happen in my life? And then sometimes maybe they talk me 30 minutes that there is no time for me say anything, because they are complaining so strongly and critically. But after that, when they stop, I normally ask that, how much there have been time for Jesus in your life? And many times the answer is just that there has been very few time. Once to my meeting came in South Finland, I had their meeting, and first there came, when the priest, the message was over, there came to the altar a 15 years old girl, and he asked me to pray because he wanted to get filled with spirit. And he was she had really thirst in her heart for God, and maybe I kept my hands up on her only maybe 1 minute, and she started to speak new tongues. He was really ready to receive. And then she asked me that, could you also pray for my mother? And I didn't know who was her mother, because they were sitting there other places in that during that preaching. And then he picked her mother, and her mother came with those sticks which you put you under the arms when you have got some accident. And she had been very serious accident, in car accident, and the engine of the car had come in front of his stomach there, because the car has hit so strongly the other car, and they had to make many operations for her, and she laid many months in the hospital. And but Lord had mercy for her, and he put that evening already to come to the altar with those two sticks. And his first question was not ask me to pray for him to get healed. His first question before the Lord was that pray for me, that I could do something for the kingdom of God, that I could get salt inside to the kingdom of God. And the second prayed subject was to get healed. Lot had put all things right order in her life. And she told that before this accident, she was very busy. She had two working and she had hobbies and many things. And she said that she was so busy that there wasn't time for Jesus at all. And that's why Lord let this accident to come. She said that Lord showed her earlier that there are now red lights in her life, like we have red lights in traffic. But she said that she didn't enough seriously mention that when Lord saw that now red lights are on that don't go. And so this accident happened. But after that, she really wanted to start to do work for the Lord, and it was very strongly in her heart that time is very short. So sometimes we are too busy, and sometimes it's very serious. If we are really busy and we don't hear what Lord is talking for us. Because sometimes he will give us also warnings to correct some things, and even in the traffic he will give us the warning that don't drive this way today, because he sees what will happen every day. Maybe somebody of you have read the book written by Demos Zakharian, who was the founder of the Wood Gospel Businessman Fellowship International. And this book name is The Most Happiest People in the Earth. And there he tells his life. And he was born there in Armenia. And Armenia is still there. Maybe most part of Armenia is still under the Russia. And he told that his forefather, his grandfather was living there in one village, and then there came, it was in the end of the 1900, maybe 1890 or after that, maybe there came some prophets to preach the gospel, and then they said to all people there in the village that you have to leave here because the people from the Turkey will come and they will destroy this whole village. And so Demos' grandfather decided to flee, and God gave the whole village the prophecy. All who turned to Christianity, he gave the prophecy to move from Armenia to California. And but only some of this group decided to obey. They took this prophecy seriously, and also Demos' grandfather took the prophecy seriously, and he moved to California. But all people who did not obey the prophecy, they died when the Muslim people came, and they killed them and burned their old houses and destroyed the whole village there. So it's sometimes very important to hear what the Lord says. If he gives some warnings, it is question about life or death, what he says to us. And Demos' grandfather obeyed the prophecy to leave because Lot earlier gave some other prophecy. There came the prophet from Russia and told Demos' grandfather had children, but he didn't have any boys. And so the prophet said that 1 year after this, you will have a boy. You will have a son, and then it happened, and he got a boy. Another time, the prophets came, and some other Christian came sometimes to visit from Russia to Armenia, and once the group came there to to that village, what's called, its name was Kala, and they came there, and Demo's grandfather had killed a bull, because the group was big, that he could make a wood for those visitors from Russia, that he could make wood for them, and he had killed the bull, and when he was there to see his cattle, he didn't want any. He found many animals there, but best bull what he had there in his cattle, everything was okay in that bull, but there was one problem. The left eye of the bull was blind, and only the right eye could see. And Demo's grandfather had read the Bible, and he knew that he could not to give any handicap offering for the Lord, that offering must be the perfect. And but then he decided that, oh, he will kill this animal however, and he killed it, and then he cut the head off and put it inside to the sack and put it to the storage, and then they made a meal, and then the Russian people came to around to the table, and this old prophet who had the white beard start to pray, and suddenly he stopped his prayer, and all people were there around the table, and he stopped praying and went out from the door, and all people were seeing why this man is going out, because we had the plans us to start to eat, and he went across the yard and went straight away inside to the storage, opened the storage door, and or it was some barn or something like that, and then he brought his sack there before the Demo's grandfather, and said to him that, do you want to confess something before we start to eat this meal? And so, because these all things happened, so the Demo's grandfather also believed the prophecy that they had to leave this village, because it will be destroyed, and so he moved, his grandmother, father and mother moved to California, and so there are still living much Armenian people. This I told like an example, because it's very important to hear with God. God gives warnings, and maybe you understood the story. I couldn't tell it so deeply. I could do it in Finnish language, but maybe you catch the main points about it. And maybe someone of you have read the book and know this story already. But this night I will share something, speak about gifts of spirit. Because God has his tools for us to do work for him. We can't do work without tools. If we try to build house without tools, we don't succeed. And the same way in the body of Christ, if we try to build something up in spirit, but we don't have tools to do it, it did not succeed. It will not succeed. And normally when I teach about the gifts of spirits, I start Romans chapter 6 and verse 22. And I will read it, and then I will tell to you why I start here. Romans 6, chapter 22 and 23. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have to remember all the time that the biggest gift we have already received, if we are inside of the kingdom, we have received eternal life. It is the biggest gift of spirit, to have eternal life, to have the name written into the book of life. So I want to mention that if you are born again, so you already have received the biggest gift, eternal life, Sometimes there in Finland comes people to discuss with me, and they are wicked people, and they says to me that, oh, we can see this question of eternal life after that when we die. But then I says to them that it's wrong time to see this question when you have died. It's too late. Because the everlasting life, it started that day when we received Jesus. You have already living, we are already living eternal life if we have Jesus in our heart. Because when Jesus raised up the Lazarus, he said that I'm a resurrection, and I'm the life. Whoever receive me will never die. I don't exactly remember it in English, but however he said his words there at when he raised up the Lazarus. Martha was little bit doubting there. She said that the body of Lazarus is already smelling bad smell, but Martha said that I will believe that Lazarus will raise up at the last day. But Jesus says that I am everlasting life. I am the resurrection. I am the life. And so he teaches us that when we receive him, when we receive Jesus, we already have received the biggest gift, the everlasting life. And that's the start for all spiritual things, to have Jesus in our heart. And then we can see, because it is very close here, I can read some verses here from Romans chapter 12 also, and verse 4, and from 4 to 8. Chapter 12 of Romans and 4. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having 10 gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophecy. In proportion to our faith. Okay. Our ministry. Let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So it means that we have different gifts according to the grace that is given to us. According to his grace. And this verse says that let us use them. If God has given us something, some gifts according his grace, he says us, let's use them. Let's use the talent what he has given for us. Everything what he gives us, he gives for use. You remember the story there? It may be in Matthew 25 or something like there, or some other place, that there was one person who just had the one talent, and he tied it inside to the cloud and put inside to the ground and dig it there, and it was not pleasing God. If we put our talent down to the ground and we dig it there, it not pleases God. God wants that all what he has given them for you. So he says to us that let us use them. Let's use what he has given for us. It is his purpose, it is his meaning for us all the time. Then we go to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians and chapter verse and verse 7. So that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that you come short in no gift. It means that we are not missing any gift in the church. That we really see them all and we really have them all in use in the midst of the church. That's God's meaning. Not missing any gift. And then we go on, 1 Corinthians 12, and chapter 12, in the beginning. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are the diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For the one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another weight by the same Spirit, to another gift of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. And then I go on from the verse 28. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent faith. Earnestly desire the best gifts. He says that we need have a desire for the best gifts. It means that we need to be really thirsty and hungry for the best gifts. We need to have desire for them. We can't see much gift in the midst of the church if we really not have earnestly the desire, the best gifts. We need deep desire for the gifts in the midst of the church. And Lord will give them. He will give those best gifts if we really ask them and we are thirsty and we are hungry for them. But if it means if we have hunger and thirsty, that we at the same time we confess that what I said yesterday, that without Jesus we can't do nothing. The problem is many times that there are very less spiritual gifts in the midst of the church because people are leaning to their own understanding. they trust their flesh and they feel that they don't need any more. I remember there my close where I'm living, one time there was a small group studying Bible, and then there came an old lady from Lutheran church, and when we were teaching about the spiritual gifts, he said that I have got my sin forgiven, and that's enough for me. I'm not wanting anything else. But I think it's a little bit selfish if some person says that I have given my sin sorry and I do not need anything else. Because then that person is only thinking about herself or himself, but not thinking that what happens to the other people who are going to hell because we don't use the gifts that Lord wants to give us, or we don't even receive them. But if we always think what only selfish way, so we can't receive anything from the Lord. It's not so important to just exactly to teach how works all kind of gifts, because when they come, we can see it in practice. And even you can't all the time said that now there is speaking with tongues, and now there is prophecy, and now there is a vision, and now there is something else. You can't separate them and see exactly what gifts is just doing work. And it is not so important to know, but the most important question is that there are gifts and they are operating, they are walking, and there is process going all the time in the church. But the Bible says that we can have a prophecy after each one. We can share prophecies. We can read till from this verse Corinthians. I forgot to read 14 and 26 and 32. So there is something more. First Corinthians 14 and 26. How it is then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be done for edification. If anyone speaks in tongue, let there be two or at the most three each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in church, and let him speak into himself and to God. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the worst keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, and all may be encouraged. And the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. So here this verse 21 says that you can all prophesy one by one. So we can say that the gift of prophecy is like the general gift, because all one by one can share the prophecy. And I really want to see during these end days time that there will be churches where all members will share prophecies, one by one sharing prophecies. Lord wants to give this gift for everyone, because this scripture says that you can all prophesy one by one. But then, same time here, the scripture says that from the prophets, only two or three could speak. So it's different thing, the ministry of prophet, and it is different thing how the gift of prophecy. They are two different things. I don't know how it is here in United States, but many times in Finland, people mix these two things together, and then go to the confusion, because they start to think that everyone who is sharing prophecies are prophet. But Bible don't teach this way. Bible says here that everybody can prophesy one by one, but then Bible says about the prophets that let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. So it means that in one meeting it's God's direction only two or three prophets to speak. But everyone can share prophecies one by one. Do you understand? So it is different thing. Of course the prophets also share prophecies, but they have something more. They have the ministry, they have the like the office from the Lord to do. They have like the apostle has the work from the Lord, same the prophet also. They have a ministry from the Lord. And so we have to keep this ordering, that we have to remember that everyone who prophesies is not a prophet. That we will not go to the wrong area. And we find out this also from the other scripture. It's somewhere there in the Acts when Paul went his group to visit to the house of evangelist Philip. And then the Bible says that there Philip had four virgin daughters, and then Bible tells next verse that then there came prophet Agabus. So Bible tells us that there were four young ladies who were prophesying, and then there came a prophet. So it says again us that these are two different things. And I think that the house of the Philip was very deeply blessed, because all young ladies were prophesying. Maybe all the time they were prophesying there. And I think there was in Bible did not tell us for anything about the wife of Philip, how much spirit filled she was. But Bible says that those daughters all prophesied. So there was like the rivers of the living waters in there. I think there was much intercession. And we know that Philip was the man who did what Lord said to him to do, when Lord said to him that let's go to the way of the Gaza. Straight away Philip left, and then he met that Ethiopian man there and led him to the Christ. And it was very easy for Philip to share the gospel word that the man from Ethiopia, because that man was already reading the Bible. He was already reading Jesus. And it was easy to say to this man that you are just reading Jesus, you need to receive him. Maybe two or three years ago, I was flying from Los Angeles to Atlanta, and there was sitting beside me a lady. Maybe she was a little bit younger than me. That doesn't matter. And she was reading a book, and I was a little bit interested what that lady was reading, and I was seeing there beside her hand what she was reading, and then I found the word Jesus there from that book, and then I asked that lady are you born again? But then she said that no, I don't believe so, and then I start to talk her what it means to be born again, and she said that I have been in Catholic school, and I don't be born again. But she was very hungry and thirsty for God, and I spoke that whole 4 hours about Jesus to her, and then I gave my address her, and she gave also my address, because I wanted to send her some English language booklets that she could study more about Jesus. And straight away when she got to her destination, she had wrote me a card where she thanked it very much, this cousin. And when we discussed it, I said her that I have to say you the truth, that the story about Virgin Mary there in the Catholic Church is first of all story, because there is not any more Virgin Mary, but because Jesus has brothers and sisters. And she was very happy that I said her the truth, and Bible says that truth makes us free. All the time truth makes us free. All kind of living situation, the truth makes us free. And also truth makes us free if we know that it's two different things to the ministry of the prophets and the gift of prophecy. It makes us free, and it gives also us some directions to understand things better. Then I will go to the verse Timothy chapter 4. But if you don't understand what I'm speaking, let me know, because some words might be and will be sometimes difficult for me. So I really want everybody to understand. If you don't understand, let me know, because I really want that people understand what I'm speaking. And so it is 1 Timothy and chapter 4 and verse 14. And this says, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things, keep yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. And I will mention this word, do not neglect. Do you say neglect? Yeah. Neglect. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. And what it means that do not neglect? I can take an example. If you have a working place, you have the work, and one morning you don't have any reason, but you don't go to the work. You just decide that I stay home today. You are not sick. Do you have any other reason why you stay home? So you just decide that I will just stay at home. So it means that you neglect your work that day. Or some other, maybe you have some duties what you have to do, and then you decide it without any reason to not to do your duties. So it means that you neglect those things. And this is the same in spirit, that if we neglect the gift that is in our life, which Lord has given to us, there will come problems. There come problems if you have no reason and you don't go your work. They will see it few days, but after that they kick you out. They said, not come anymore here. We will not pay you because you don't come. So it's very important to do our duties here in natural world, but also make our duties here in spiritual world. Maybe Lord is not so maybe he don't kick us out, but maybe he will kick us out his work if we don't really do what he says, if we neglect gifts what he has given for us. And earlier here in verse 12, Paul said to Timothy, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Those people who has gifts and use them, it's good them, and best better for them to be also like Timothy, examples to the believers in the word. Leaves us life that it's example life for other Christians. If we use spiritual gifts and same time we are living bad life, we give really bad testimony about our our Lord Jesus Christ. Then Paul gave another direction for Timothy here in the 2 Timothy and chapter 1 and verses 6 and 6 to 8. 2 Timothy 1 and 6 to 8. Therefore I remind to you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. So here Paul says that I remind you to stir up the gift. Stir up. And in Finnish Bible there is the word what we use when we tune the instrument, the music instruments, when we start to, before we start to play the guitar, or sometimes we had tuned the piano also, that it will give the right sound, right melody, right voice. And the Finnish Bible says that tune up this gift what God has given. According to that you can get out there the right sound. And so it is our heart that there has to happen something that we could use the Spirit of God. It must be stirred up. It needs heavenly inspiration, and sometimes if it needs heavenly direction, that the gift will be stirred up or turn in our, that there will be turning our heart, that everything will be okay, that this gift what God has given or gifts He has given us, that they will work our life. So I will underline other thing that. The other verse said that Timothy had received a gift when the elders had laid hands on him. And here Paul says that when he laid hands on Timothy, Timothy received the gifts. So the gifts of spirits are not just falling directly from the heaven to your life. Normal way is that they will come through the elders or through to apostles or through to some other ministries. Lord has put order to the church. And we see when Philip went to preach the gospel there in Samaria. And then the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God. Then they decided to go there and they prayed for the people. And they received the Holy Spirit and received the tongues. And then they received also prophecy and all other gifts. Gifts start to flow there. So they came through the apostles' hand. And sometimes they came through the elders. And the same way today, they are not just falling from heaven. Because they fall down, if I can use this word, they already came down in the day of Pentecost. Sometimes people who are except to be filled with the Spirit, they make the mistake when they ask Lord from the heaven fill them with the Spirit. And then they don't understand that Lord already sent the Holy Spirit at the day of the Pentecost. And so we need not to pray the Holy Spirit come down again, because Bible tells that He already came. He is just now here in the midst of us. If here is somebody who has not filled with Spirit, you need not to pray that God will send the Spirit from heaven, because He is already here in the midst of us. And how the apostles prayed there in Samaria, they just prayed that these people's hearts will open to receive. And so we have to pray also today and all the time when we pray that people will get filled with Spirit, or we pray for them that they will receive gifts. We just need to pray that their hearts will feel open to receive. Because all spirit and gifts are here in midst of us. It is question that our heart will open to receive. Lord already sent his spirits here in the earth. And the spirit of God is here in the earth so long, how long the church will be here. So when God takes the bride up to the heaven, then also the Spirit of God goes with the church. Do you understand? But it's here until this day happens. And we are still here, so the Spirit of God is also here. Okay? And then I will see the last things from verse Peter and chapter 4. And it's verse 10 to 11. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the domination forever and ever. Amen. I got in my own life, I got very strong starts. Maybe I told it a little bit when I visited here last year, but maybe some of you don't was here, and maybe some of you have forgot what I said. And same evening when I met a lady who told me the gospel of Jesus Christ in the street in capital city of Helsinki, in the capital city of Finland, in Helsinki. Maybe after 1 hour when she told me that you must be born again, I was born again, and I was filled with spirit and baptized in the water. It's all happened in 1 hour. So you understand, it was a very big change in my life. I was just walking there on the street, and lady came to talk about me, Jesus, and led him to her church. And there they had so much power that they led me inside to the kingdom, and then they prayed that I will let the spirit, and I start to speak new tongues. And then they asked, do you want that we will baptize you in water? And I said that I'm ready to receive anything what heaven will give for me. And so I got very fast start inside to the kingdom of God. Everything happened in 1 hour. But this is not any doctrine. I understand if you had to wait to build with spirit some months or years, or if your water baptism happened 5 years after you came Christian, I understand you. Because I meet there all the time in Finland people who, maybe sometimes there is someone who has been Christian even 20 years and he hasn't not filled with spirit or received yet the baptism in the water. I was just came home from Israel 2 weeks ago, and I was there with a group which include 27 people, and 7 of those people wanted to receive the water baptism, and I baptized them in the river Jordan. And so Lord leads and guides this thing, and if here is this night somebody who has not been filled with spirit, I'm ready to pray for you this night. And if here is somebody who wants to receive more gifts from the Lord, I'm ready to pray for you. But we have to remember that the Spirit of God shares how he wants. We understand that the prophecy is a general gift. We can everybody ask it. And also there is the verse which says that if somebody speaks with tongues, he can ask that he also could make interpretation. Those two gifts are like general gifts, but All other gifts, Bible says that Holy Spirit shares how he will. So we can't decide that what we really receive, but I read this text that we have desired those best gifts that the church will be edifying. So we can ask those best gifts that Lord will give them in the midst of the church, and the Holy Spirit will share them how he will. I cannot decide that you will get the knowledge word, and you can get the wisdom, word of wisdom, and you can get the gifts of healings, and so I can't decide it. And also you can't decide it. But we still have to be hungry for the Lord and thirsty for him. And we must be humble and receive what he wants to give us. Sometimes people want to get some other gift, but the Lord says that I have reserved this gift to you. Because Lord sees everything, and he knows that which gift we will succeed in ministry. He knows all things better than what we know. But if we humble our heart before him and are ready to receive what he wants to give, then we will succeed in ministry. Maybe you understand me very, very much better if I tell something about my life to you, that I was quite lazy in the school study English. We had some lessons there, maybe even 11 years or so I was studying English in school, but I was not so much interested in, because I was not yet Christian that time. In fact, I was atheist, and my father was that time a farmer. Now he is retired, and my brother is raising up the farm now. But that time I was thinking that I'm leaving my whole life there in the small county village, that I don't need there any other languages, no English, no Swedish, no German, no anything what they taught in school that time. And so. But when I became Christian, I was 22 years old, and quite soon after that, Lord started to speak me that you have to start to study English. And I still not understand why, because I was still thinking that I'm doing my whole ministry in Finland. But Lord spoke more and more, and when I got maybe 30 or 32 year old, Lord told me to go to language school and study more the grammar of English and also some other questions. And so I understood that I have to start in my ministry here in United States and in Canada. And maybe you understand why Lord sent me here. Why he don't send here some famous preacher here from United States. Maybe it's because I cannot trust my flesh, because I need anointing for every word which I will speak to you. So I know in my heart very strongly what it means to be filled with the gifts and filled with his spirit and filled with his anointing. Maybe 4 years ago or 2-3 years ago I was there in Florida, and one Venice lady was getting married there, and she got married with the Spanish language man who comes from Colombia, and I was sitting there in the table, and there in the same table was a young guy from Jamaica, and I tried to discuss with him, but he did not understand what I was saying with my English for him. I think he was like eating all words that I could not understand him. And then I tried to speak him, but he did not understand. I tried to say him that it was Saturday evening. I tried to say him that tomorrow I'm going to preach in Spanish language church, that, and I have to speak in English, and pastor will make interpretation. But he did not understand. Then I asked one Finnish guy who spoke Finnish and English very well, and I said that, say this young guy from Jamaica that I'm going to preach tomorrow in the Spanish language church but in English. And then he said him that Jari is going preach that church. And then that young guy was very surprised, and he He said, how you will succeed from that, because I don't understand any word what you are saying to me. And I pointed up my finger up to the heaven and said that there is no problem when the anointing of God will pour down. And I succeed very well that meeting, because Lord gave the anointing. Okay, maybe I have been sharing all the things, and I thank you very much that you have been so interested in, and I'm very sorry that I had to come in the middle of the week, but I had to reserve 2 weekends to California and last weekend my trip to Texas, because our return flight is from Texas, and that's why I couldn't come here in the weekend. But maybe you will be more successful next time. Maybe I succeed to come here then at the weekend. And I don't know yet do I come here anymore after the 21st, but if I come, Bob will tell you, and if he will come, he will tell you. We don't know all the schedule, because the tickets what I have now, I have the return tickets still back from Fresno to Nashville, Tennessee, 21st, but we will see what will happen. Okay, we will pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come to your holy presence, and we come through your, Lord Jesus, we come through your holy blood there.